Good afternoon. This is your Lena Live. I'm certainly very happy to come back to welcome First BBS Radio, which is so inspiring to us all every time since first day I've met them. And this particular program, which will be very enjoyable, interesting, and inspiring, I will extend my gratitude to the station with all my warmth and my thanks to all of them. I wanted to express my introduction perhaps in a little less formal way, saying that in the midst of our quite a bit of a challenges, emotional and spiritual collisions, we're certainly facing with economical difficulties, but more so with our appreciation of who we are and how deal with those conflicts which are taking place in the world, which are certainly very revealed by our bravery in this country. And I certainly cannot find a better person, even trying very deeply and very hard, than former senator of state of Indiana, Rose Ann Antich Carr, who was so kind to return to our program. And I would be cautiously but optimistic in saying that she might return to us again. In this note, I wanted to be very grateful because with this incredibly profound mission, which Annie, as she allowed me to call her, provided for her state, she actually exceeded all expectations of political leader because of the gifts which she has regarding psychic abilities, regarding her knowledge of human psychology, and mostly important, her totally undivided and totally discreet and at the same time willingness to help, to share, to lead, whether she is official politician or just a fantastic human being. On this note, Annie, you're welcome. And with your thoughts, without any special questions for now, but many coming in this program, I'd like to welcome you. And please express your first thoughts, which I think you had to do, you wanted to express regarding our dreams and yeah. Evolution of this into the reality. Yeah. Annie, you're welcome. Please speak to our program.
Thank you. You're so kind, Lena. Lena, before I go into the reality of our dreams, I'd like to just say this Friday, actually, afternoon of Thursday and then all day Friday is a time to the United States has to be cognizant or aware of what's happening, particularly with air travel. And there may even be a little fear about, or the news will cover something regarding terrorist actions on this Thursday afternoon, but more on Friday, because the planets are lining up a very hard aspect to our country. Our country, of course, astrologically, is a Cancerian, and it's got the Sun, Saturn, and Pluto, which Pluto and Saturn are normally very devastating planets. They're certainly to be taken seriously. And they're squaring our sun sign of being Cancer. I just wanted to get that off of my chest while we're talking because that came to me very, very strongly. Okay, making our dreams a reality. It isn't as difficult as we feel that it is. Everything begins with a seed. That seed in human beings is an idea. And in the first thing you do when you get an idea is visualize the final outcome. And then come back to being the seed and starting to look for ways or routes, streets, highways, that you follow to reach your destination of completion of your dream. And it's funny because we tend, in today's fast-paced world, we tend to forget, avoid, avert, we tend to skip over the little things. And everything in life has a meaning. And I mean, I could be planning on going to the grocery store, and all of a sudden I get a phone call from a friend that's in desperate need of advice or just desperate to talk to someone. It could be that that phone call came to keep me from going to the grocery store at this moment so that I avoid an accident. If we trust in the universe, trust in the supreme being, we will know that our life will go on the right road at the right time, especially concerning our dreams. And there's no dream that is unattainable. If you think of a yellow Volkswagen with pink and purple polka dots decorating it, it's because that thing already exists. Somewhere there is one like that. So nothing is really what we'd call new. In the universe, everything already exists. It is up to us as individuals to claim those things that we dream of or we think of. Do you have any questions so far?
Yes, I like to follow on this, but let me interrupt myself and give you this more than compliment, but your ability to connect Earth with Heaven in a most discreet and very clear way, because it's a well-known struggle with people who are trying indeed to achieve their dreams in the midst of colossal emotional challenges. And I do not need to say how many ways they are trying to exercise forms of meditation, forms of intellectual and mental concentration. And they are so incredibly inventive with that. Yet, there is no always guarantee that this precious dream, which feels so real, so near, indeed will become real. And your ability to describe this is so clear that I personally feel that you realize all my dreams, at least during the course of the program. So, coming back to this, I wanted to ask you, to what extent this misconception that God is with me, God will help me, but in the same time, God helps only one who helps himself or herself. How can you explain this concept?
All right. In each cell of our body, when we are alive, the very center of each cell has never been broken. They've split the atom and found the nuclei. The nuclei has never been broken. I feel that the center, the very center of the nuclei, is God consciousness or our life force. It's what keeps us alive, which keeps us breathing, walking, running, whatever. There is no man that possesses more godliness than another man. No matter how positive or negative or good or evil they are, they still are composed, they're constructed of equal parts of God consciousness. when they say that God helps those who help themselves, those are the people, the ones that help themselves, are the ones that stop and call on their inner strength or inner power, which is God consciousness. So if we just make ourselves aware and learn to acknowledge and believe that inside of us, God is there, and we have to go down within ourselves to come up in life. So you go down to go up. You go down within yourself to raise yourself up in the material world. Like I said, you never desire or want for anything that is not already attainable. It is attainable. Everything is. You just have to set your mind to it, then take yourself down within yourself through meditation or just heavy thinking, and that's what meditation is, heavy thinking, and say, all right, Lord, guide me in the direction to reach my goal. Does that answer your question a little bit?
Yes, it does. And if I understand you on a little deeper level, the more you are going through this process, the more frequent discipline of going through this process, the more result you can achieve, if I can make that statement.
Absolutely, because it's, as we spoke on another show, if you want to have big muscles in the upper arm, in the biceps, you pick up a weight and you start lifting it every day. Every day you're lifting this weight, and you will build up a bigger muscle. The more we use our brain, the more powerful it becomes. The more powerful we become. Our brain is only owned by us. No one else can use it. Nobody can borrow it. They can accept and use the ideas that our brain produces, but our brain is ours. We need to build it, to strengthen it. We need to strengthen it. It can only be strengthened by use, just like
and,
the bicep.
You remind me something, if I can join you with this thought just from the other angle. When I was teaching fear of performance with my students going on the stage, I used to say, no one can take away your gift.
That's right.
Try to move just 1 inch your ego and with that fear, and you will gain that many more inches of strength to express your gift.
That's right. This is what discourages me about politics, even though my life has been really, really involved with politics. It discourages me because too often elected people, they like the attention in Washington, they like the money. The state people don't make as much money as senators or congressmen, that's for sure. But the people who are making money off of politics and elected officials, they let their ego get in the way. And this crowd, their sense of self, their thoughts about themselves, seem to take away X amount of energy that their brain produces that could be used in doing better things for mankind. And it's really discouraging. It was at the state Senate level to sit there and see people pushing to pass a bill that would benefit either them directly or a friend of theirs. And in reality, it wouldn't benefit the other millions of people living in the state, but it would be good for just a very few. And it's so discouraging because when we improve life for the multitude, then every single person will be benefited. But there's too much of this ego thing that gets in the way. it's disappointing to see me. Some of these people I think should be trying out for Hollywood roles rather than political seats.
Well, we had a few actors there. You're not far away from the truth.
Uh-huh. And the actors did it because, if you notice, they were kind of on the downslide in popularity in Hollywood. So they go into politics, so they'll be recognized, covered by the media, and back in people's in their face again.
Well, you bring in the point which I was trying to express in a more of a general way in the beginning of the program, with actual issues which we facing today. We're all dying to know your input and your vision on this. However, I like to honor some of my listeners. And if you're comfortable enough right now to make a little break from our subject and give us a little bit of a astrological vision, because be honest with you, one time I had very disappointing reaction where at one point your very insightful reading was interrupted and the person felt somewhat very deprived and anxious without knowing the ending of your reading. So if you can just inject a few thoughts and few directions, that would be fantastic. And then after that, perhaps we will listen a little piece of music, and then we will come back to our discussion about politics and some other philosophical issue. How does it sound to you?
Sounds great. One of the things right now, of course, we're in the sign of Libra astrologically. There are many Librans right now who are going through a period of being tested. Other people's views are trying to be pushed on them. Other people are trying to tell them what to do. And Libra is a sign that there's a lot of gray. If you ask a Libra, and I'm not talking about all of them, but the majority of them, if you ask a Libra, do you want to go out to eat tonight? They'll say, well, we'll see. I don't know. Maybe. But they just don't quickly make up their mind. Now, this is not all of them, but it's most of them. But right now, they have some heavy responsibilities. And this is going to continue, but it will let up after the 7th of this month, but not until then. Each sign of the zodiac has different karma to pay. And I'd like if people would call in and ask us psychic questions or astrological questions. That would be fun to do, too. And I certainly would love to help them if I could. We are in a very serious time, and we will remain in that serious time at least until after the 10th of October, as far as our nation is concerned. And the people, there's going to be more spiritual growth all over the world, not just here. And I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be hard to get to, but sometimes you have to travel either a wet or ruddy road to get to a nice meadow or a nice mountain. And we're right now going through a little bit of the rough roads. Are you there?
Well, absolutely, very much so. This something I like to ask you because it's so so relevant. Let me extend this segment before we'll have a little musical moment. Rough road.
Mm-hmm.
We had a conversation about fear. We had a conversation about facing the fear.
Mm-hmm.
That is something, if I may express perhaps a bit controversial vision of what I can see myself. Fear is extremely human, very powerful feeling. Mm-hmm. I think we should honor it.
Yeah.
I think we should, thank you for agreeing. Yeah. Because if we honor fear, right there, we already stop fearing the fear.
That's right.
And in fact, without going into historic and cultural perception of it, which will take just a one whole program, perhaps we can orchestrate this with you. But just on a moment of a discussion, fear actually deserves tremendous attention, honor, and love. And the fact that we are so overwhelmed with the fear right now in this country, we are choked up, and we almost don't have this energy to face the fear. So if you can clarify this with your wisdom and with your tremendous work with people on so many levels, what is the fear to you?
Okay, but rather than use the word honoring it, I just feel like we should recognize it and know when fear is stopping us from progress with our own goals or our own life. And if we recognize why we fear something, then we are taking it serious, or in your words, perhaps honoring it with recognition. And we know it exists. Once you realize that you're being held back because of a fear or your own personal fear, once you recognize that, is it fear of rejection? Is it fear of objection by others? Is it fear of being hurt in some way? We have to realize that we can only overcome that fear by getting, and I use the word loosely, gutsy, going down within ourselves and realizing, yes, the Lord is in me. I am part of Him. And that strength, that energy is going to be what's going to overcome this fear. And fear is to be thanked, because if you're afraid to do something or tackle a project or an investment, whatever, if you have a fear of it, you will not freely put your energy into seeing your goal recognized. But we thank fear because in overcoming it, we say, aha, look what I've done. I had the strength to do that. I went down within myself and I found the strength inside me to overcome that fear. So I have built that muscle of the mind. I have built the muscle.
Annie, this is the only reason I'm interrupting you.
Yeah.
What a spectacular answer you have. And I only have a one justification to interrupt you is because we have a caller. And I'm not surprised because the issue is so relevant. Let's give this caller opportunity to speak with you. Caller, are you on? Please introduce yourself.
Namaste, ladies. This is Eugene.
How are you, Eugene?
Can you hear me? You're
welcome. Yes, we are. Please speak to my guest.
Hi, Eugene.
Fine, thank you. I'm working with my I am that I am present.
What?
And I have a vision, and I can see a timeline running right next to mine where I have a platform to teach and help facilitate the awakening process. Now, what happens is I've been led, when the fear comes up with manifestation of money, the platforms, the avenue through which this to emerge, what I do to the best of my ability is bring the fear into the inner sanctum of the heart, into that mighty I am flame of unconditional love, and allow that flame to sear away my fears.
Good.
And I concur with both of your observations, when the fear arises, if we can acknowledge it, recognize it for what it is, and allow that mighty I Am presence to transmute it. So I'm working with this to the best of my ability, but it can be very frustrating at times. In there's like a time lag happening where waiting for the emergence of new doorways to come forth. And, you know, all that I am not is being stripped away from me, and I'm grateful of it. But I was wondering if you could shed some insight to what I sense is a whole new reality about to emerge. And I realize that's within me, within that emergence of me, the Eugene, with my soul, Mother, Father, God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Lena, you put it right, very apropos-ly. I sometimes feel very choked up. And, you know, at some points in times, I feel like if the door doesn't come pretty soon, I'm ready to leave. Truthfully, I mean, I'm ready to help and make a difference, but the manifestation is, there are other things manifesting. My connection with my soul has grown immensely, and I'm very grateful for that.
Eugene, what you are doing, and I'm glad you called, you are practicing creative visualization.
Yes, ma'am.
You are creating the path to attain your goal. And you need to do a little bit more work on that, but at least what you have done so successfully is you have created the vision of what your goal is. Do you follow that?
Yes, I'm anchored in that. So I have the vision of the center and a platform, and then a golden thread of light, and bring it into my heart and let it resonate into my heart. So I see the vision of the healing center, and I'm there in, you know, the location. And I'm, you know, trying not to be so concerned with how this will be fulfilled. Of course, you know, it's spending a dollar on a lottery ticket, it's well worth all the fantasy about the fruition. But I realize God and Creator has so many infinite ways to bring about.
Oh, Eugene.
If I can conceive it, I can, you know, it can actualize it.
Eugene, the universe is filled with material things, with money, with other material things that each of us want, we desire, or we need. And it's filled with it. What is your birthday, Eugene?
7/18/67.
Thank you.
At 9:18 in the morning.
I don't have the computer on right now to look up your rising.
There's a grand trine going there.
Yeah, but as you know, we also right now, well, you're okay because you're approximately 24 degrees of Cancer. But right now, your Mercury is at 12 degrees of Cancer, and we have Pluto, Saturn, and the Sun all somewhere around 7 degrees, so it's coming into a T-square of your Mercury, your mind. So you're doing some heavy thinking. It also is very near your natal Saturn in Aries, creating squares. So there's a lot for you that's going to be changing and happening. And I'm going to say something, and I don't know exactly why I say it, because I'm not looking astrologically, I'm looking psychically. We're going to see the last 5 days, 1, 2, 3, 4, last 5 days of October, and almost all of November, particularly the first 16 days of November, we're going to see, you're going to get upliftment in reaching your desired abilities. You're going to see something come up for you. And there will be someone else from the outside that will be helping you. You will not be alone in your quest. Spirit says you will not be alone in your quest. There will be.
Well, I've seen some signs of this. I've been writing from the level of the I am that I am, and a platform on the web, TLCE group, you know, has allowed some of these to be posted. And, you know, it's reaching out and us all coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And helping one another,
and that's such a wonderful
on the other end of the phone, and sharing the connection with me, you know, that gives the being here a real sense of joy and comfort. So,
It does.
Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for calling us, because our discussion is helping those that we aren't hearing from. And I really believe that, because there are no accidents in life. Everything happens for a purpose. And if you study karma...
And it's so beautiful that you hit the nail right on the head, because I feel that too. Because we all are one. And, you know, my fears and dreams and, you know, feeling choked up, if you will, and what I just described, I know that some of my brothers and sisters listening out there probably have that same thing happening.
Okay,
so,
let me ask you something. When you get this choked up feeling, does it kind of hit you right in the breastbone, right below at the lower part of the breastbone? Do you get a kind of nervousness feeling there? Because that's what they call a chakra part in a chakra point in yoga. And I get a tightness or a quivering feeling, a very shaky feeling, right in the pit of my stomach or right where the breastbones come together in the front. And
I do feel myself contract and constrict. I teach Reiki and I work with the infinity breath. So as fear comes up, I do my best to breathe an infinity figure eight loop where the cross of the infinity, the in-breath comes up the front channel, in through the front of the heart, out the back of the heart, up around the top of the head, down the front, in the front of the heart, out the rear, down through the tail, and up through the front again. But
okay.
I certainly recognize by breathing and relaxing and breathing fully into fear, acknowledging it, and giving it up. And as you know, you both have spoken.
Well, it's not as simple as just saying, God, release this fear from me, or, you know, take it away from me. It's not that simple. Sometimes fear comes because we are being told to find out what is the reason of the fear.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
Then the next step is how to overcome it, rather than just asking it to evaporate into the ether, into the air. One of the little secrets that I think life has taught me is when you get that quivery feeling, oftentimes, I'm talking about over 90% of the time, it's not that something is going to happen to me. It's not my personal fear. It belongs to someone that I know or that is close to me. So I go down the list. Was my mother, was him, and I wait. And that upset, that quivery feeling, that nervousness in the pit of your stomach, it'll leave when you touch on the person or situation that it belongs to, because it's not yours, then it will disappear. It'll leave you. And that means pray for that person. In other words, I would say, does it belong to my brother? Does it belong to my son? Does it belong to my friend Cindy? Does it belong to my friend Gina? Different people You see what I'm saying? But
Annie, cannot allow myself to be silent here. You played such a sensitive point, and I think this very open and passionate caller we have, Eugene, will perhaps join my comment. This fear, when we're born, we've been born very free. We've been born fearless. We do not need to describe children's tremendous freedom of movement and thinking. Then gradually it's cropping in. Gradually we collect this experience of fear. And this is such an incredibly powerful point you are making, because we might not be aware that we're carrying somebody else's fear,
right,
which was instilled in us, maybe even by our own parents.
It's like picking it up telepathically that someone else is in need of help.
Exactly right. And that is a such important process, because if you can achieve this clarity and to be very honest and in the same time discriminating in terms of the source of the fear, because it's a one fear, if I broke my leg, I'm afraid to start walking again. That's one thing. We try to take step by step and coming back to walk. But if fear was coming from some family roots or some childhood experience, this is much deeper engraved fear, and that we will have to deal with our conscious approach. Eugene, is that something you can share?
I do recognize that, you know, for my mother is a cancer sign as well. And so the connection with mom and family and brothers psychically, you know, I work with the violet flame from Saint Germain, and to keep my chakra cords clear of negative connections. So, and I do realize that at some points in times I do recognize a thread of connection with others around me.
Mm-hmm.
It has the potentiality to influence me because I'm very feeling individuals, us cancer sign ruled individuals, you know, we feel so deeply one another. So,
You're very sensitive.
And, you know, to keep myself balanced and centered and clear, you know, that takes it, we have to choose that. So, but allowing this fruition of the manifestation of the dream, I've been very fortunate that I have dreamed into manifestation, into my reality, other things as well. So you mentioned one thing earlier, that we have to go down within ourselves.
Right.
And that's where the connection is at. And I so deeply honor and respect that. That's where the dreams lie, within the self, not outside.
That's
but,
right.
You know, you dream it inside you, and you hold steadfast in your connection. And, you know, it's been written and said, it's not whether or not the dream comes true, but the journey to get there, that you know you're on your way there. And
mm-hmm.
whether or not it comes does not matter, but you're working towards it.
This is, in fact, wonderful point you're making. It's very wise to honor and to be in the hands of the journey and not to be that much obsessed with the result. That dimension of thinking and feeling comes with the maturity, which is another dimension. What is a maturity is? My own humble feeling is it's see what you want and have an idea how you can get there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's my very simple definition of maturity. But I just wanted personally to congratulate you, because if you're reaching a point of honoring your journey, to be satisfied that you're in the right journey, to be conscious that you're in a very clear, spiritually oriented way, I think indeed you will be having a wonderful result.
That's right. Yes, yes, ma'am, I agree. And thank you both for helping re-edify, reinforce, and help me ground. That's what this conversation is doing, is helping me ground the truth within myself. And so thank you both very much.
Good, good. Well, thank you for exposing to all our listeners some of your, you know, method of attainment in life, because we're all here to attain something. Let's set our goals high enough and just know that it's going to be attained, whatever that goal is.
And that we're not alone.
And then take advantage of every door that opens that will lead to that goal, whether it's from a friend, whether it's from a stranger, whoever.
That's right.
Because they will come to us. Help will always come to us. And most of the time, it's from an unexpected source.
That's right. Yeah. What the least likely, that's the meaning of do not let appearances distract or sway you.
That's right.
And treat your neighbor as yourself, for they really are you.
You know, and I will add to any to your thought to feel even more than important to know that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on this bridge, we will go to the second segment about this feeling to be by yourself, to feel oneness, to be alone but not to be lonely.
That's right.
Before we will open that door, one of the doors which you suggested,
mm-hmm,
I'd like for you to give your contact so perhaps Eugene will be able to get in touch with you to continue his thoughts and feelings.
That would be great.
Annie, please let us know how we can reach you.
Okay. My email is arose@annrose.com. ANNERose411.com.
Very
That's
good.
A-Rose and at ANNERose411.com.
Correct. And my phone number here is area code 219-980-0010. That's 219-980-0010. And usually when people call for appointments, it's usually a week and a half to 2 weeks ahead that I'm booking right now. And I'm not one of these people
that thank you for your time today.
Things quickly. My normal consultation is about an hour.
Well, I will thank our caller for his very open, generous sharing.
Yes, I thank him.
I very much looking forward for his sharing with you on a more individual, personal level. And on this note, I'd like to remind our listeners of our telephone number here, so they will have this just a wonderful opportunity to meet you, to speak with you, and to be just as open as Eugene was. And the number for PBS station and my show is 1-888-815-9756. I'd like to give our special guest a little rest. We all will reflect with this wonderful piece of music, which was composed for the program by Julian Lampert, after which we will come back to our discussion with our dear Annie. And after this lovely music, we're back. And if I will permit myself to express Henry Van Dyke's thoughts about time, because we will be talking about time and continue with issues of our spirit, our emotional cooperation with our time, or being in dissonance, struggling, and then have a joy of victory. Henry right. Van Dyke said about the time, those words, time is too slow for those who wait, too swift for those who fear, too long for those who grieve, too short for those who rejoice. But for those who love, time is not. If we can continue our conversation in terms of our modern time, I personally feel that world almost catching up with every or close to every element human is capable of expressing. It looks that there is almost like a wild and totally unpredictable collision of physical, spiritual, and technological manifestations. It's indeed so difficult to find your own place, and you don't even have enough time for this. So we're dealing with something which I think you expressed very clearly, this exercise of meditation, doing something at the same time with the same purpose. Correct. And if you can walk us through with this moments of internal placement of our reactions or our abilities to deal with the modern world.
All right. Yes, and before I do that, I just want to tell you that while listening to the beautiful music, the words dream ecstasies came to me, that was like a title of what I was hearing, dream ecstasies.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
I will transmit this to the composer.
Good.
And he will be definitely very gratified by your associations.
Good. Now, as for time, there have been many poems written about time, all saying that love is eternal, and I believe it is. We normally are born because two people were in love or love children. There was always love expressed at birth, and that is something, a commodity that we should never put aside as we live our life each day. We should always hold on to the word love and the feeling of love. There's got to be something we all love. I love looking out at my backyard and seeing the squirrels and the birds playing. To me, I love that because they're happy. They're not fighting. There's no controversy whatsoever. They're just happy. And they're doing their own thing. And I love watching them. But love is such, it is so plentiful in the universe. It's only that negative things that happen in the world is what hits the headlines. How often do you see when you're watching TV news or listening to the radio news, how often do you see stories about loving things that happen to people or to animals or in nature? You don't see that, you know? And it's too bad because anything negative that occurs has more of a stronger vibration to it. Not more in commodity, but stronger vibration. So, of course, they put that on the news. And this is something we have to learn to overcome. As far as meditation, it is always good to pick out a time, whether it be in the morning when you first get up, midday, evening, but pick an hour. Is 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Pick an hour, a precise time, that you're going to try to meditate every single day. And this will be building up that muscle of the mind. And when you do this, it is good to sit. It's better to sit in a straight back chair than to do it in bed. But if you want to lay down on the couch or the sofa or the bed, that's fine too. Make sure that your palms, because the palms are receiving points of energy of the body, your palms are turned upward. Like if you're sitting in a chair, put your palms up on your thighs of your leg. Or if you're laying in bed, lay your arms out straight, either out straight or straight alongside your body with your palms up. And visualize first a white light. And if you can't, look at a light bulb. Stare at a light bulb that's turned on. And when you close your eyes, you still have that image of that light bulb. Stare at a light bulb if you have to, or if you're strong enough like Eugene was to visualize a white light. That is God consciousness. That is pure. There's no black marks in it, orange marks, green marks, nothing. It's just a white light. Because the color white is actually a combination of every color in the spectrum. And it comes out white for some reason. So visualize God consciousness or the block letters, printed block letters, saying G-O-D, God. Now you know that you have in your conscious mind, and normally it goes down much deeper than that, to the subconscious and superconscious, you have that light there protecting you from negativity. And you visualize that light, and then visualize a person or a circumstance that you need an answer to. How is Millie in Montana? Okay? So you visualize Millie, and you visualize her in Montana, in her home or in her car, or however. You visualize her, and is she happy? Is she smiling? Is she sad? Is she frowning? Is she crying? You visualize how she is. And then talk to her and say, Millie, the problem is, if she's frowning, Millie, the problem is not as bad as you think it is. There are solutions. You will come to a good solution. And you make that happen. Thoughts are things. And we must keep that forever in our mind. Thoughts are things. Some of you people out there who don't believe that thoughts are things, I want you to look around the room, at the table where you're sitting. If you're sitting in your den or living room looking at a TV set, stare at everything in the room. Now, close your eyes and show me one thing. Tell me of one thing that you saw that began before somebody thought of it. Was it the television screen? No, somebody had to think about how to make one. Was it a coffee cup? No, somebody had to think of how to make a coffee cup. And why did they have to do that? Because they had a need to drink coffee. And they didn't want to drink it out of the pot, so they created a cup. Is it paper? Pencil? These are all things that somebody thought of before they became reality. So every thought is a thing. And when you get that concept embedded in your mind, then you're going to realize and recognize how strong your thoughts are. Because anything you think can become a reality. If you choose to cultivate it, to make it become real.
Annie, I have to confess something.
Yeah?
It is probably some special signal that even though I don't have your abilities of ESP, but we definitely communicate on some level, because you really not only use my thought, not only use my words, but I was ready to ask you another question. In fact, I made a note of it.
All right.
Saying that thought becomes thing. Mm-hmm. This, I would say, God will not let me to lie. This is not one of those moments where I'm lying. In fact, with the maturity, I feel you have to have a good memory in order to lie.
That's true.
I'd rather to be honest and build few of my strengths and use that quality. But coming back, honestly, that was my very next question thought, that thought becomes thing, and that's what you just articulated. So I wanted to ask you, to what extent do you feel that we can start to trust our intuition, to trust our somewhat subjectivity, because we might not have this manifestation of reality immediately, or maybe even after some time, but we all have intuition, not as near as you have, because God gave you this psychic gift. But everyone has its own intuitive abilities. So where is the indication, or how can we start to use our intuition with emerging with our confidence?
Okay, first answer. Yes, we can trust our intuition 100%, if not 1,000, okay? We really can, because our intuition comes from that little nuclei in the center of each cell of our being. And that is the God consciousness. So if you can't trust Him, who can you trust? So know that all of our... We wouldn't be alive if God didn't give us the energy, share His energy, making us alive, breathing, living. So that is our own. Each one of us has our own. No one has more than somebody else, though. But we do have that fuel to go on through life. You can trust your intuition, but the problem lies in people don't take time. And you mentioned the word time, and that's such a crucial word. People don't take the time to look within themselves, to go down, to come up. They don't go down within themselves to seek the answers. It's easier for them to pick up a phone and say, hey, Sam, what color should I paint my shed in the backyard? Instead of saying, what color would I be happy with? And visualize a red one, a yellow one, a brown one, a white one, and then decide which color I would be happy with. Instead of getting someone else's opinion. There's nothing wrong in sharing your opinion and saying, hey, Sam, I'm going to paint the shed red with white trim. What do you think? That's fine. It's human to do that. But knowing all along, you're not going to change your mind. You're going to do what you wanted to do. And when it comes to intuition, what we talked with Eugene about this nervousness in the pit of your stomach, and I said to him and to our listeners and to you, Lena, I said, you know, you have to find out who that fear belongs to. Fear creates that. Not necessarily positive things create that little squishiness in the stomach or in the pit of the stomach. We have to find out why and who that belongs to. So you don't say, is it Tom, Dick, or Harry? You sit down, you meditate with your palms up, and you say, is this because of Tom? If that feeling continues for like 1 to 2 minutes, go on, is it Dick? And it continues. Is it hairy? If it's hairy, it's going to leave, and you'll feel a calmness. But now you know that Harry needs help. So pick up the phone, go next door, whatever, and contact him and say, are you all right? How are things doing? Now, that is intuition. You're intuitively knowing that Harry has something wrong with him. It wasn't Tom or Dick. It was Harry. And that's following your intuition. Learn to follow your intuitions. And it's funny because, you know, when you stop and you really look to see how much of my life is comprised of intuitiveness. I had it happen where I said, okay, I'm going to get up in the morning, and at 9 o'clock I'm going to the grocery store. And all of a sudden, I don't feel like going to the grocery store at 9 o'clock. And I find out that something happened. Either the road to the grocery store was blocked by an accident, or there was a problem with the road, or there was a problem at the store. I mean, there is a reason we are held back from going where we want to go at a specific time. Intuitiveness happens almost continuously while we're awake. I mean, just continuously. There are reasons. I mean, I go to the corner and go to the grocery store and turn right, and I wind up turning left. Why? And I wind up turning left and down the road maybe a half a mile or a mile. I run into a friend. I pass up a friend who I hadn't seen in a while, so I stop and talk. Had I not made the wrong turn at the corner, I wouldn't have seen that friend. But I turned left, and I ran into that person. Had I turned right, I would have gone directly to the grocery store. But it's an intuitiveness that tells you, oh, you better turn left here. So I did, and that's what happened. Intuitiveness can always be relied on. It's up to us as a human being to recognize an intuitive thought and to cultivate it.
And that's the last thought, which is so important. I wanted to make very clear, especially for our young generation who are speculating, using intuition as a tool to actually excuse themselves, to demonstrate arrogance. I wanted to make clear connection that listening to your intuition does not mean that you find some shortcuts or you're avoiding your immediate responsibilities. I would go even further. I would say that intuitive and refined self-listening of your intuition might be sometimes in a contradiction between what I feel and what I need to do. And it doesn't mean that you dishonor your intuition. That just means that it is life is life. And what I feel now, I might continue feeling later. I will treasure it. But in order for me to preserve this feeling, I need to do what I need to do. Did I make this connection clear, Annie?
Very. Very. Yes, that's very good. Very
okay.
Good advice.
Then
your programs, Lena, are always filled with excellent advice to happier living.
Well, I'm so thrilled. I was questioning my intuition about this, but now you erased all doubts. which doubts you're truly inspiring me. And you've been inspiring so many people, which leads another question immediately. Your ESP abilities and in your politics, yes, you did talk about this before, but it is incredibly unique combination when you always being almost inseparable between your abilities of ESP, which will give you this reliable chair to be human being, to have this immediate understanding, to have privilege to make correct decisions way beyond and before anyone else. How much of that you are treasuring now? What are your memories and what is your immediate plan to use your abilities for human beings, but also for your political career, which I'm sure would not just would not end because you are not in your senator chair.
Well, first of all, I'm my plans are to finish two books, one on psychic development and meditation and other psychic world facts. For instance, there's a sector on burning candles and colors of candles and what they mean. And then the other book is The Reality of Public Service, The Reality of Being an Elected Official. And, you know, so many times people misunderstand what ESP is. It's called an extrasensory perception. And I don't think that's the right word for it because it's not extra. We all have it. We all have the ability to be psychic. But the extra perception means extra outside of the normal six senses, you know, or five senses, smelling, seeing, hearing, talking. You know, it's just an extra sense that people don't all develop. They don't take the time, and there's that word again, they don't take the time to develop it. But feeling, you know, is a sense, and this is what psychicness is. You feel something, you mentally, you see it in your mind, you might hear it. Clairaudience is what that's called when you hear voices. And most people would think, oh, God, if I'm hearing voices, I'm nuts. But it's not true. Sometimes you hear voices that actually give you guidance in life. And clairaudience is to be very well respected and loved and welcomed. But in politics, I had to be very careful because offering a bill to be voted on. And I remember one, it was on the pasteurization of goat's milk. Now, there are laws that say milk has to be pasteurized and homogenized. But that always meant cow's milk. No one had the law of goat's milk being pasteurized. So this one guy, he wrote up a bill and he was offering it on the Senate floor for passage, and everybody thought he was foolish. And he looked at me and I said, no, it's going to pass. We're going to pass that. And everybody kind of boo-hooed that, you know, and said, oh, are you kidding? Why do you have to pasteurize goat's milk? Well, the bill passed, and it became a law in Indiana that you have to pasteurize goat's milk. There were a lot of laws that were kind of what I call frou-frou. They were kind of silly, but they passed, you know. And there were others that were very serious bills that were offered, and somebody would say, well, I'm gonna introduce this bill. And I said, it won't pass. Well, they think that I have stopped it because I said that. And it isn't true. When you're psychic and you see something and you state, verbally say it, that doesn't make it stop. It doesn't make it happen. It's just that you saw the outcome of a situation. And people can get mad at you if you say, well, your health is going to be bad in November. And then if they get sick, they say, well, it's because Annie said so. No, it's not because Annie said so. It's because what Annie saw, and Annie told you to go to the doctor when you didn't feel good. So what I'm trying to do is help that person become well or stay well. I'm not causing them to become ill. And there's so many misconceptions about development of your intuitiveness or your psychicness.
Well, I wanted personally to thank you for passing this bill because on a big picture, cow milk actually is much more difficult to digest for human as we learn with the years. And a goat milk is so wonderful. So
yeah.
Personally, I thank you. And if you ever will come to visit us, the only product of cheese or milk you will come it will come from this wonderful animal, which is goat.
Yeah.
And I wanted to thank you very much. That was
feta cheese. Feta cheese, right?
Yes, absolutely. Just a wonderful personal accomplishment. Let me ask you on a little bigger picture. When you had a conflict inside of yourself as a psychic,
mm-hmm.
between what you saw and in between what objectively politics is presenting, how deeply you were either disturbed or motivated to help and to solve, or if you feel sometimes life can give us overwhelming possibility, you just stepped away. So what is your internal life as a psychic?
Okay. Back in 1998, which was, 12 years ago, I introduced a bill that said you cannot drive and talk on a cell phone at the same time, mobile phone, because I knew it would cause a lot of deaths and critical injuries. And I knew it wouldn't pass, but every year from 1998 through 2006, I introduced the same bill. It failed every year. And I knew it would fail. I knew I didn't have the votes for it. But now, if you turn on the media and you look at what bills are passing, almost every state is introducing that bill. No one had introduced it in 1998, but I did. And word of mouth traveled, and in the newspapers, word of mouth traveled that this bill was introduced but didn't pass. But it gave the idea, which is, the ideas are creators of results. It gave the idea to other people. And finally, we're passing the law that you cannot be on a mobile phone and drive at the same time. Now, starting out right now, where teenagers aren't allowed to do that. But it's going to affect, and I think in Chicago it does already, affect all drivers. But you don't allow yourself to get discouraged. You recognize the fear. The fear was it wouldn't pass. All right, so why am I still going to pursue it? Because the eventual outcome of this will be passage of the bill. And it becomes, the bills become a law.
And we even following this law in New York State. That's how far your thoughts are traveling.
That's right. Thoughts are things. I have a thought, and it doesn't just stay in my little cranium. It goes out in the universe. It goes in the universe. And someone else is going to pick that up. Oh, I know a good thing to teach our listeners. When you have a negative thought like, let's see. Oh, I have to go for surgery, and I don't think I'm going to make it through the surgery. Say somebody has that thought three times, and I don't know why. It was taught to me to always say it three times. God bless that thought out of my vibration, which is your being. God bless the thought out of my vibration and neutralize it into the atmosphere. And you say that three times. And the reason I say that is because, all right, let's say I'm going for surgery tomorrow and you are too. And you live in one state, I live in another. And I have that thought and I just say, oh, God bless it out of my vibration. It'll be removed from my vibration. But it's in the atmosphere now. It may land on you and you may get it. But if I ask God to neutralize it, it's breaking up the components, the energy cells that comprise that thought. And it's negative. So you ask God to neutralize it, to break it up so it doesn't land on Lena. Did I make that clear, Lena?
I just wanted to interject a little thing. So our positive conscious teaches our unconscious, which happened to be filled with this negative thought, which unfortunately...
Right. And vice versa.
And vice versa, yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, let's say you come up to me and say, I'm trying to think of something. Let's say you come up to me and say that your son is getting married next week. And I say, oh, it's not going to be a good marriage. Okay, that's a negative thought, okay? So what you do is say, Lord, God bless that thought, out into the ether and neutralize it. Neutralize it into the ether. And you say that three times. Because I said the words. The words are they're very strong. I showed you when we talked about meditation how nothing is created before it was a thought, and that is a bad thought. So you ask God to neutralize it into the ether so that that thought doesn't land on your son or his future wife or someone in her family or even as someone in your family. You don't want a negative thought to exist. So you must learn to destroy them before they can become realities.
And if you can walk us through this very valuable, I hate to use the word mechanism, process, how to destroy the negative thought.
Okay. If you have a thought that's negative, say you're going for a job interview, and you'll say, oh, I'm going to go, but I'm not going to get the job. I know they won't want me. Okay. First thing you do is say, uh-oh, God, bless that thought out of my vibration. Neutralize it in ether. God bless that thought out of my vibration. Neutralize it in ether. God bless that thought out of my vibration. Neutralize it in the ether. The ether is the atmosphere. And you have destroyed it so that when I go in for the job interview, not only will I not expect objection, but it won't be in that person's mind to object to my employment. Does that help?
Very much so. In other words, you make a very conscious effort to catch this thought as soon as you realize it exists.
I was a very young person when I learned that, okay? And I have to admit something. Most people that are in the public eye don't admit these things, but I hate mops. I like my hands and knees when I'm scrubbing my small kitchen area. I have a large house with a small kitchen. I like my hands and knees because I can see what spot I've missed. Anyway, I was on my hands and knees one day, and I had just been told, and it was a very elderly lady. Her name was Miss Finney. She was an African-American woman from Gary, Indiana. And she taught me to say that when I was probably 15 years old. That's when I first met her. And she was probably in her 80s or 90s at the time. She was very elderly. And she taught me to say that every time I had a negative thought. So one day I was probably in my very early 20s, and I was doing my kitchen floor. And I said, you know, I'm going to practice that today. So I got my little pail of water, my soap and everything, my washcloth. I'm washing the floor, and I start thinking negativeness, I'm just going to, Sally doesn't love Harry. And I said, ooh, that's negative. And I took that day and devoted it to neutralizing negative thoughts. I have to admit, I probably spent 70% of the day saying that three times. And I said, wow, I never knew I was that negative. You really don't realize, people don't realize how many times they think negativity, negati- vividly during the day. They just don't think of it. And I'm telling you, once you do that and just take a day and devote it to keeping all negative thoughts out of your mind and keep them from becoming realities, you are going to spend a day asking God to bless so much out of your vibration and neutralizing it into the ether. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Matter of fact, I'd love to hear from people who try it and tell me what effect that had on them. Just to write to me and tell me, you know, hey, yeah, I did that, and I found myself doing it 10 times today or 3 times today or whatever. But you have to really scrutinize your thinking very closely, and you're going to find out your doubts are negative. Well, my mom said I should do this, but, oh, it's not going to work. Well, that's negative. Bless it out of your vibration.
And one can start from very small thing, because you gave this wonderful practical thought.
Yeah.
Again, you connected so clearly, which is usually quite a challenge to connect spiritual goodness with every moment reality.
That's
so
right.
What we're trying to do is to exercise this conscious, I would say conscious color, to have a rainbow of positive colors for our conscious realization, and perhaps visualize those dark colors with mm-hmm. our negative visualizations. And that perhaps can give us more of an impact of our emotional deal with our own negative thoughts. We would not be that much trapped in the situation and the facts. Just to think, wow, those bright colors, this bright energy, this tremendous lift of my emotions. Let's give this a little injection, which will overcome those dark, heavy emotions.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, why are we here? Why does God give you a radio show? Why does God, thank him, by the way, give me the ability to feel and sense things with my conscious mind, that other people possess the ability to keep it in the subconscious. I don't know why, but he does this for a purpose, and perhaps it is to spread good word throughout the world. Because we don't know, you know, who is listening. It could be someone in Germany. It could be someone in Hawaii. I know you have listeners in Hawaii. And down in Georgia and Alabama, it could be up in Canada. Someone's going to hear it. Someone will pass it to one person. One person will pass it to another. Now you have 3 persons involved in positive thinking. It's so essential. It means so much, not just to me and you, but to everyone. And we need to get the good word out. PMA, positive mental attitude. Switch those words around. It's MAP, or map to live by.
And this is such a wonderful crown to our program. I will give you my little translation of wow. I love this sound because it lets you out with your lungs, a little mouth expression. I translated world of wealth, but of course not physical wealth, the spiritual wealth, because
oh,
the world
can be
cannot
both.
Be, I'm sorry?
It can be both.
And it can be both, actually.
Physical,
yes.
Emotional, and material.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. And I think we will talk next time about this balance, which we will be trying to achieve between physical, emotional, and material. Because
the
world certainly will profit from your thoughts, your experience, your vision. And I will definitely looking forward to this, not only concept, but realistic manifestation. How indeed we can deal with all of these qualities, which I think now at the peak of its dynamic expression. Annie, I wanted to thank you so much for not only this another wonderful program, but for who you are, for continuing to be this incredible diffusion of your gift as a person, your knowledge as a politician. And I promise we will take very, very aggressive advantage of you.
Okay, and I hope, that's a deal.
And I hope you will enjoy some of it. I'm concluding my program with a former state of Indiana, Rose and Antich Carr, and with my just amazement how endless human capacity can be. Annie certainly is one of those outstanding figures and human being of our society. We all thank you for your bravery, for your uncompromising honesty, and such emotional generosity. On this note, I will say goodbye to my wonderful guest, Annie. I will say thank you so much to BBS radio station.
And Lena, thank you for the opportunity to view my views, okay? I love you all, and I hope and wish the best to all of our listeners.
And Annie, at the little tale, you will come the last and the most memorable. Could you tell us again your website and your telephone number?
Oh, okay. My phone number, 219-980-0010. 219-980-0010. The email is arose@annierose, A-N-N-E-R-O-S-E, 411.com.
And on this musical note, I will thank my wonderful station, BBS, with their engineers and just the wonderful people. Until next Tuesday, that was your Lena Mirmont with Lena Life, with more thoughts and feelings to come in the future.